Well, the scene will be set later today for what could become one of the defining battles of next year's election, workplace relations reform, believe it or not. In particular, an overhaul of weekend penalty rates. Political editor Alison Carabine joins us from Parliament House. They're ending the year on a busy note, this federal government, Ali, releasing the final report from the Productivity Commission into Australia's industrial relations laws. Is it going to differ much from the draft report that we saw earlier on in the year?
Good morning, Hamish. Look, I wouldn't expect it to differ greatly from the draft report released a couple of months ago. The recommendations should, by and large, be the same. Now, that interim report we got in August made more than 40 recommendations to reform the IR framework in this country, the most contentious of which was an overhaul of weekend penalty rates. Now, the Productivity Commission is not recommending that penalty rates be scrapped altogether. The Saturday penalty rate of roughly time and a half would remain, but the Sunday rates, which go up to double time, would be wound back and brought into line with the Saturday pay scales. That's what the Productivity Commission is calling for, and it's something that business and the retail and hospitality sectors have also been calling for quite some time now. There's also another recommendation that has sparked the ire of unions and the opposition. It's a new form of industrial agreement called an enterprise contract, which would be an alternative to enterprise bargaining. Now, these enterprise contracts would allow a new way for small business to employ groups of workers. They're not exactly like the Australian workplace agreements introduced by the Howard government, which ended up being so despised by the community, but they have been likened to AWAs. So the government will have a fight on its hands if it adopts either the enterprise contracts or indeed moves on weekend penalty rates.
As you say, the government would have a fight on its hands. We'll be talking later in the program to the ACTU Secretary Dave Oliver. Is this federal government willing to go to the election and campaign on these issues of penalty rates and enterprise agreements? We've sort of been there before, and we've seen how that turned out.
Yeah, and once bitten, twice shy, Hamish. It has a very clear memory of the community backlash it incurred when it overreached after the 2004 election and introduced work choices. The government under both Tony Abbott and Malcolm Turnbull has always promised that it would take any changes to the labour laws to next year's election. It would seek a mandate before introducing any amendments. The ACTU, it's already gearing up for an aggressive marginal seats campaign at the next election next year. Penalty rates will be the hot button issue, but in a bid to try and preempt or neutralise that campaign, the government is restating this morning its position that any changes to penalty rates will be up to the Independent Fair Work Commission. The government itself won't be making any move on rates, nor will it be making any submission to the commission to vary penalty rates. Now, that's a position that will anger business. The government's own business constituency will be very disappointed that it's going to take a hands-off approach, but nor should you expect unions and the opposition to go quiet. As long as changes to penalty rates remains the position of the Productivity Commission, and it was the government that commissioned their inquiry into the workplace framework, you will hear a lot from unions and the opposition in the lead up to the election that the government too has a secret position to vary penalty rates after the next election. That's the argument we're going to hear a lot of.
If there's any federal minister that probably does deserve an early Christmas break, it's Andrew Robb. He's had a particularly busy year, but in fact, he's in Kenya. The World Trade Organization struck a deal to abolish all agricultural export subsidies.
Yeah, this is one that snuck up on everyone, considering how slow and tortuous negotiations tend to be at the WTO. No one was expecting this deal to be struck on the weekend, but 163 member countries, including Australia, have agreed to abolish all export subsidies for agricultural products. These are the subsidies paid by governments to their own farmers to help them with their business costs. But only the wealthier nations can afford these subsidies, which do make it more difficult for poorer countries by distorting what should be a level playing field. Caulfield. These subsidies, which will now be abolished, they're worth about $15 billion. They affect a range of commodities, sugar, beef, pork, lamb, dairy, rice, fruit and veg. They will help, according to Andrew Robb, Australian farmers, though at this stage it's a little bit hard to say by how much. It's largely been the United States and the European Union which have been using export subsidies to help their own farmers. Andrew Robb, he's still in Kenya. He spoke to me a little earlier.
Australian governments and the industry have been fighting these issues for decades now, and they can recall, or many would recall, the big stockpiles of dairy products and meat and grain that built up in Europe at different times off the back of these major subsidies. They've caused enormous loss of market and loss of income over decades, for that matter, and it is quite critical that this decision was taken, and it really is an historic time, I think.
So that's Andrew Robb speaking to us from Nairobi. You're right, Hamish, it has been a bumper year for Andrew Robb, not just this ag deal at the WTO. He also landed the Trans-Pacific Partnership and the China Free Trade Agreement, a large part of which coincidentally came into force on the weekend. He probably is first among equals when it does come to ministers who most deserve downtime, some downtime over Christmas.
And we'll be hearing more from Andrew Robb just after 7:30 on RN Breakfast. And finally, two other ministers working very hard towards the close of year, Julie Bishop and also Maurice Payne, the Defence Minister, talking with their Indonesian counterparts today. Terrorism talks, security talks, pretty timely given what we're hearing in the news about the arrest of a few men over the weekend, potentially plotting or allegedly plotting New Year's attacks in Jakarta.
Yeah, it does look like Indonesian police have foiled a terror attack in Jakarta. Several people arrested following a tip-off from the FBI and also the federal police, the AFP. It's not just Julie Bishop and Maurice Payne meeting their counterparts in Sydney today. We also have George Brandis and Michael Keenan in Jakarta for talks on counter-terrorism. Now, this is the first substantial ministerial talks since relations were badly strained over the execution of Andrew Chan and Marin Sukumaran. Today's talks all about enhancing counter-terrorism cooperation between Australia and our near neighbour, which happens to be the world's biggest Muslim country, at least by population. But what we could have hanging over the talks, both in Sydney and in Jakarta, those rather provocative comments by Tony Abbott about the need for a revolution within Islam, indeed the superiority, in his words, Tony Abbott's words, of Western culture over the Muslim world. Indonesia, arguably our most important relationship. Those comments could cause some rather awkward moments.
Alison Carabine, thank you very much. We'll talk to you again later in the program. It's 17 minutes past six.